All right, so buckle up, everybody, because today we are diving deep into the world of wargaming. And no, I'm not talking about rolling dice and moving little plastic soldiers across a table.
Right, no.
We're going way beyond that. We're cracking open chapter 3 of this fascinating wargaming handbook.
Okay.
And get this, it's all about how wargaming is used for so much more than just, planning military stuff.
Yeah.
We're talking business strategy, high-level policy making. Like, it's about getting strategic about anything.
It really is, yeah.
So are you ready to like really get into this?
Absolutely. Let's
Yeah.
do it. I'm fascinated to see where this goes, and it's going to be fun to explain this to everyone.
Okay, so the first thing that really jumped out at me, and this is like page one stuff,
Okay.
wargaming isn't just about war.
That's right. It's a much broader concept.
And they highlight this thing called seminar games.
Yes.
It's where they bring like all these experts together
Right.
to kind of like explore a problem. It's almost like a super structured brainstorming session.
I like to think of it as a what-if machine for really complex problems.
That's good, yeah, but with like consequences.
Exactly. You get to see how different decisions might play out and what the potential ripple effects could be.
They even talk about these course of action war games
Oh, yeah.
that like military headquarters will use to, plan out campaigns and strategies.
Right. And it's important to note there are no actual tanks or troops involved. It's all simulated.
It's all like theoretical.
Exactly.
And then, you've got the business world.
Oh, yeah. Business wargaming is huge.
They use business war games
Right.
to like model competition, market dynamics.
Yep.
They'll even use it to like try to predict how a merger is going to go.
Or an acquisition or a new product launch, you name it. They use it to game out different scenarios and make more informed decisions.
It's mind-blowing.
It is, isn't it?
It's like you're taking a board game and applying it to like real-life problems.
Absolutely. It's about taking that strategic mindset and using it to tackle complex challenges in a structured way. And the chapter does a great job of explaining how these games are actually structured and run, which is where it gets really, really interesting.
Yeah, because someone's got to decide who wins, right?
Exactly. And that's what they call adjudication. And I was really surprised by all the different approaches they outlined.
Yeah, me too. Adjudication. It's
Right.
like it determines, like how the actions in the game actually lead to outcomes.
Exactly. It's the bridge between decision and consequence.
So like they've got these, some of them are really free-flowing.
Right.
They rely on expert judgment.
That's right. They'll bring in people with a deep knowledge of the subject matter, and they'll basically use their expertise to assess the situation and determine the outcomes.
Then, you've got others that are like super rigid.
Yes, very rule-based, almost like a complex algorithm. Every action has a predetermined outcome, so it takes the subjectivity out of the equation.
It's like, if this, then that.
Precisely. It's a more deterministic approach.
Yeah. And then they have this like this hybrid thing,
Right.
semi-rigid.
The semi-rigid approach, that's a good way to describe it. It's kind of a blend of the two. You have some rules to provide a framework, but there's still room for experts to weigh in on those more nuanced or unpredictable aspects of the situation.
Okay, so there's like a little bit of like, judgment.
Yeah, exactly. It allows for a bit more flexibility and adaptability, which can be crucial when dealing with complex real-world
But
issues.
the one that like really blew my mind
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
was this minimal consensual.
The minimal consensual method, yeah. I found that one really fascinating too.
So the players and the people who are deciding who wins,
They work
they
together.
all work together to
It'll
determine.
come to a consensus.
Yeah, it's all about like, consensus building.
Right. It's a very collaborative approach. It emphasizes shared understanding and getting everyone on the same page about how different actions might lead to different outcomes.
Can you imagine the arguments?
Oh, I bet the discussions can get pretty intense. But that's part of the value of wargaming, right? It forces you to think critically, to challenge assumptions, and to really consider different perspectives.
Yeah. But what really blew my mind was just how many different types of war games there are.
Oh, yeah. It's incredibly diverse.
Like, they make it clear there is no one size fits all.
Right. there's a whole spectrum of possibilities. You can have a war game that simulates a very specific tactical situation, like a small unit engagement, or you can have a war game that models global geopolitical dynamics over decades.
Exactly. And they talk about how, like, the elements of the game, you know, how they're represented.
Right, right. How do you represent different actors, the forces, the environment, all those things?
They can be, you know, could be abstract symbols on a map.
Uh-huh. Like those classic war room maps with little wooden blocks representing units.
Or it could be like, you know, those super detailed miniatures.
Oh, yeah. The ones that look like they came straight out of a hobby shop. Those can be amazing to look at, but they also add a whole other level of complexity to the game.
Oh, and they were talking about like some of these war games will try to like bring in
the soft factors.
Yeah, soft factors.
Things like morale, public opinion, maybe even cultural factors. Trying to incorporate those human elements into a model can be really challenging.
Yeah. Things like morale, public opinion.
Right, because those things can be so fluid and unpredictable, but they can also have a huge impact on the course of events.
It's like, how do you measure that?
Exactly. Yeah. It's not like you can just assign a number to morale or public opinion. You have to find ways to model those things in a way that makes sense within the context of the game.
It's like you're choosing the difficulty setting on a video game.
Oh, I like that analogy.
You know?
Yeah.
You can like go full casual.
Right.
Like just a board game with friends.
Keep it simple. Have some fun.
Or you can like go super hyper realistic simulation.
With all the bells and whistles, all the complexity you can handle.
Yeah, and that leads to another big takeaway.
Okay.
Wargaming isn't just for like, you know, military strategists.
Right. It has applications far beyond the battlefield.
They highlight how it can be used to tackle, like, super complex problems.
Problems with a lot of moving parts, lots of interconnected factors, the kind of things that can make your head spin just thinking about them.
Yeah, with, like, you know, tons of moving parts.
Exactly. And wargaming provides a framework for breaking those problems down into manageable chunks, analyzing them systematically, and exploring different approaches.
But then they also talk about, you know, you can also use it for like really, you know, well-defined challenges.
Right. So not just the big amorphous problems, but also those more focused, specific challenges where you need to make a clear decision.
Like imagine using a war game.
Okay.
To like, you know, plan a major vaccine rollout.
That's a great example. A war game could help you model the logistics of distribution, identify potential bottlenecks, and develop strategies to overcome them.
Or like if you're a company.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to reorganize your supply chain.
Absolutely. You could use a war game to simulate different supply chain configurations, test their resilience to disruption, and find the most efficient and robust setup.
You can even use it to just, like, brainstorm.
That's one of the things I love about wargaming. It's not just about analysis.
Yeah.
It's also about creativity. Hmm. It can help you generate new ideas, push the boundaries of what's possible, and come up with innovative solutions that you might not have considered otherwise.
And they talk about how, like, you know, you can design a war game to, like, help you understand something.
So achieve different levels of understanding, yeah. Sometimes you're using a war game to just get a better grasp of a complex situation to see how the different pieces fit together.
Yeah.
Other times you're using it to gain deep insights into the underlying dynamics of a problem or to evaluate specific options and their potential consequences.
And they make this point that I think really resonated with me.
Okay, what's that?
Like, the type of problem you're dealing with.
Right.
Determines like the type of war game.
The design of the war game.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's a key takeaway. If you're dealing with a very clear-cut technical problem, a more rigid, rule-based war game might be the way to go.
If this, then that.
Exactly. But if you're dealing with a lot of those soft factors, a lot of human behavior, a lot of unpredictable elements, mm-hmm. then you might need a more flexible, judgment-based approach.
Okay, so like what's the big takeaway here?
The big takeaway is that wargaming is an incredibly powerful tool for strategic thinking, for testing out ideas, for gaining valuable insights. And it's not just for military leaders or business executives.
Right. Like, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if you're a CEO, a general, or just someone trying to make a tough decision in your personal life.
Yeah, exactly.
The principles of wargaming can be applied to any situation where you need to make choices with uncertain outcomes.
Wargaming is a way to, like, explore the possibilities.
You know? Absolutely. It's about anticipating consequences, weighing different options, and ultimately making better decisions in a complex world.
This whole conversation is making me think, like, what if we all used wargaming in our everyday lives?
What do you mean?
Like, what if before we made a big decision,
okay,
we like sat down,
mm-hmm.
did a little war game.
You know, map out the possibilities, think about the potential consequences, and try to game out different scenarios. That's a fascinating thought.
Yeah. What if we like mapped out all the outcomes?
It could be a powerful way to approach decision making.
And like, you know, test different scenarios.
Right.
Do you think we would like make better choices?
It's certainly possible. I mean, wargaming forces you to think strategically, to consider multiple perspectives, and to anticipate potential challenges. So, yeah, it could definitely help us navigate life's complexities with a bit more clarity and foresight. It's definitely something to think about.
Something to think about.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that was a lot to unpack.
It was, but I think we covered some really interesting ground today.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining me.
It was my pleasure. Always happy to dive into these topics with you.
And everyone listening, don't forget to check out the show notes for links to all the resources we talked about.
And keep those strategic minds engaged.
Until next time.
See you then.